Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, that's four lines from the top, is a continuation of Asmachta, of halachas that are derived from psukim, but those psukim in the Torah are only Asmachta. And we had discussions about various Asmachtas with regard to Avodah Zorah, and Avodah Zorah is Metame Betumas Masa. We had a sfina that it's not mekabel tumah. Now we're going to discuss what's called poleta shichva zera. So a woman had an intimate relationship with a man, and the zera, once it comes out of her body, is metame. And the Mishnah wants to establish the bounds of this halacha, because at some point or other, if the shichva zera remains caught up in her body, held up, and it doesn't come out, it becomes what's called sirochon. It's completely putrid. It cannot impregnate anyone. And if it comes out after that point, then it's not mitami. It's not called zera as far as tumah is concerned. And the question is going to be, how long would it take if the semen, if the zera is held up in our body until it finally becomes sirochon? It's no longer mitami. And the Mishnah opens up by saying, minayin. Where's the source? Lepoleta shichva zor biyom ha-shlishi shetehet meya. It means that we have to count the day of the relationship, the intimate relationship. Then we count the next day and the next day. And any time in between, if she's a poletes, up to the end of that third day, then the zera is not nifsad, it's royally collate, it's in good shape, it's still viable, and therefore it has the status of shichva zera. It's metames whenever she sees the zera coming out of her body, which is called poletes. Shenemar, the pasuk says, before Matan Torah, in Parshas Yisro, Heyu nechonim l'shloshes yomim, al tigshu el isha. This is the Parsha of Prisha and Hagbalah of 3 days before Matan Torah. And the Torah is going to be given on the fourth day. And the Prisha, therefore, is because those who had this relationship within the 3 day period, then the woman with whom they had the relationship would now be a poletes. She becomes Tmeya. And the Torah is makpid that at Matan Torah, everyone should be in a state of tara. So Tumas Keri of a man would not itself require Hagbola. The only problem is the poletes, not his Shichva Zera that came out. Because a Bal Keri is only a Tumas Erev. Whereas a poletes, that's a full 7 days. So therefore, we don't have such a serious, heavy-duty tumah in the case of a Bal Keri. That's only Tumas Erev. And the Torah wants Tara from a serious tumah. And the question is, of course, what about Zavim and Mitzorayim and Bole Nidos? Do we find that the Torah's Makbid, that they, Hashem, didn't want them to be part of Matan Torah? And if the Torah wasn't Makbid, so why is Poleta Shichva Zora more of a Kepeda? And Amir Tzashem will talk about that. By the way, Tumas Keri is very unique in that it's considered ba mitoch kalus rosh. And Kabbalah Satorah has to come be ema uviyira. And possibly other tumos that have nothing to do with zera, have nothing to do with this intimate relationship. For example, a zav or a mitzora, those do not have an element of Tumah Machmas Kalus Rosh, and therefore they weren't excluded from Matan Torah. Again, all this has to be studied as we go along. I'm just mentioning it up front. So again, the Torah was very careful to warn the men that they should separate from their wives 3 days because of the chash that their wives might become tmeos because of poletes. And this was before Matan Torah. Now, if the Torah commanded Prisha for 3 days and not more than 3 days, it implies that after the Tevilah of Leil Revi, there's no more Achshash of Poletet Shekva Zera, because she wouldn't become Tomei as a result of being Poletes. On Yom HaShlishi, on the other hand, if she be Poletes, she is Tmeya. So this is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, and they were Poresh Minishoseim B'yom Revi Shal Shavuah. This all took place on a Wednesday. Kabbalah Sator was on Shabbos, which would be the fourth day following Wednesday. So those who were Meshamish their Mitos on Yom Revi'i, which was the last day before Prisha, and then there would be a tefillah on Leil Shabbos, there would be no chashash of Shema Yiflutu B'Shabbos, because this Pleita is not Mitame. So we have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And now they need to go to Mikvah on Leil Shabbos. There's no chash after Leil Shabbos that she would become Tmeya because of Poletus, because 3 days have already passed. Then Mishnah addresses a different question, which is perhaps the most relevant in this parak to it. Al Masech the Shabbos, Minayin Shemachitzim Es Hamila, you're allowed to heat up water in order to wash the Bris Mila on Shabbos itself. B'yom HaShlishi Shechol Lios B'Shabbos, the third day following the Mila overlapped with Shabbos. So this third day is considered Sakana, and therefore, if we're afraid of infection, etc., we can heat up water and strengthen the body and guarantee the health of the child, even though it's Shabbos. Shenemar. Now we're talking about Shimon and Levi, the Bnei Yaakov. They came to the city of Shechem after they had destroyed those who who had gone through Mila. And the pasuk says, "Vayehi b'yom hashlishi b'yosam ko'avim." In other words, they were in a sakana even as long as 3 days after the Mila. So the first 3 days after the Mila is a sakana, and we can, even if that third day after the meal falls on Shabbos, we can heat up water for the sake of the child. Moving on to the next subject, which is really Masechta Yoma. Minayin shekoshrim lashon shel zahoris b'rosh sa'ir ha-mishtaleach. They had a crimson strip of wool. It was very well combed wool, and very long, and it was narrow. It looked like a lashon, like a tongue, and it was dyed red. And this was placed on the head of that goat that was sent to Azazel on Yom HaKippurim, and then it would turn white, which was a siman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had gave forgiveness. He had given mechila to Bnei Yisrael. Shenemar, Pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi. The Navi here is rebuking Klal Yisrael, and he tells them that they should recite vidui on their sins, they should confess their sins. And Gamim Sarchu, even if they went off the right path, their tshuva will be accepted, and therefore Yeshayahu said, "Im yu chata'eichem kashonim kisheleg yalbinu." If, as a result of tshuva, your chata'im are like shonim, and it means that there's a kind of a beged that has a red dye, a red color to it, you can see it from very far away, it's difficult to remove that redness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will convert it to white. Yalbin also HaKadosh Baruch Hu kisheleg. So from this pasuk we find an asmachta for the lashon of Zahuris, because Hashem in the parish of Tshuva is saying that a piece of garment, let's call it, with a cloth which is red will turn white. And so too, this lashon shel Zahuris, which is a crimson color, and when it's wrapped around the head of the Sar v'Shtaleach, it will indicate that there is a kapara when it turns white. Minayin l'sicha shehi kishsiya v'yom ha-kippurim. How do we know that you're chayev not only for eating solids on Yom Kippur, but even for drinking liquids? Afal pishen raya l'davar, zecha l'davar, shenemar in Tehillim, in the Mizmar of Tehillim, the capital that addresses Sara, those who spoke against David HaMelech or against Klal Yisrael, that David cursed them, as it says, Vayilbash Klola b'mado, Vatovo kamayim bekirbo v'chashemen le'atzmosov. And what that means is that sicha is like something that goes into your body, even though it's on the skin, it's a dermatological anointment. And that's based on Vayilbash Klola b'mado, kimado, Vatovo kamayim bekirbo v'chashemen b'atzmosov. We see here a hekesh between sicha of shemen and shesia of mayim. And now we start the Gemara, and we go back to the Reish of our Mishnah, in the case of poletes b'yom ha-shlishi, that even up to and including the third day since the intimacy, she is, if she has a pleita, she is a tmeah. Reisha, the beginning of our Mishnah, where it says a poletus b'shlishi tmeya, who delo kirabalos ben Azaria, but seifa kirabalos ben Azaria. So the Gemara wants to know, to whom should we attribute the authorship of our Mishnah? There seems to be a contradiction on that very question, because our Mishnah says that a poletus b'shlishi is within that 3-day period, therefore she is tmeya. That's against Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But yet the sefer that we wash the baby on the third day after the mila, even if it means heating up the water on Shabbos, that reflects the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In a mishnah later on, in Perek Rabbi Elazar, in the Perek that deals with mila on Shabbos, and de'ik Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah tahora shamanu leh. In other words, he says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that on the third day, since her intimacy, she is poletes and tahora, meaning that's not considered poletes. Our Mishnah says up until the fourth day, she's still tmeah. So the Gemara answers, mandalo muki ketanoi. In other words, you don't want to assume that the Mishnah is divided up into two parts and reflects two different tanoim. Is tana reisha tahora? He should change the language of the reisha. The reisha says that biyom ha-shlishi she's tmeya, and you could have said that that's a mistake and it means really biyom ha-sheni she's tahora, but up to and not beyond yom ha-sheni. So if you're not, you know, if you're not interested in reconciling the Reisha and the Sefer, then you're going to have to change the Reisha to read Tana Reisha Tahora, that on the third day she's Tahora, after third day after the relationship. Umuki la kula kirablos medazari. Then the Mishnah from the Reisha to the Sefer is very consistent, reflecting the Shita Rablos medazariah. So the Tumah of Poletes is up to the second day, not on the third day. And in the case of the Seifa, which is the Rechitza of Mila, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who allows heating up the water on the third day after the Mila. Then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, as far as Poletus is concerned, is Poletus Shichva Zera Biyom Hashlishi. In other words, let's say she was Mishamish the Mita on Thursday, let's give that case. And she was Poletes on Shabbos. So we have Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. Now, when exactly did she have the relationship? The Shimush, the Tashmish? Was it during the day or at night? So Lechora, it could be both. It could be that at the beginning of Leil Chamishi, Leil Thursday, she had this relationship. And therefore, she counted four complete onos. So she's got that night, that's one ono. The next day, that's two. Friday night. So we're going to count from the ono from Thursday night. And you have the ono of Friday. That's two. Then you have Friday night is three, and then you have Shabbos is four. So we have, if we count Leil Shabbos, Leil Chamishi started, and Chamishi, and Leil Shishi, and Shishi, and you count an Ono is either day or night. Or, for example, if let's say she had Tashmish on Yom Chamishi Somach L'Chashecha, and if that be the case, she only had on Yom Chamishi a short period of time, Mitzas Yom Chamishi, then Shishi, Leil Shishi, and then Shishi itself. So you have two Onos Shlemos. In that case, also Tahora, Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In other words, we count days, and if she was Poletes on the third day, she's Tahora. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he holds that Poletes on Yom HaShlishi Tmeya, and only if she's Poletes on Yom Aravia she Tahora. He admits that mitzvah sayom kikulo. So therefore, he would say pa'amim shehein arba onos. You could have four onos shlemos, and if she was poletis during those four onos, she's tmeya. Like let's say, for example, she was mishamesh at the end of Wednesday, then she would be tmeya until Leil Shabbos. And Pom Shem Chamesh Onos, if she was Shames at the beginning of the day of Wednesday, Yom Revi, that would be Chamesh Onos. Pom Shem Shesh Onos, if she was Shames at the beginning of the night of Revi, and she was Poletes any day until the beginning of the night of Shabbos, and that's Shesh Onos. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Li'olam Chamesh, that it's always going to be five Onos Shlemos. Okay, five Onos Shlemos. And if she's Poletus during any of these five period of time, five on a shlema, she's tmeya. And im yotza miktas ona rishona, if she didn't have tashmish at the beginning of the first ona rishona, no simla miktas ona shlishis, will make up what she missed from the ona rishona in order that we could be mashlim the five ona shlemas. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Shmuel, we go Holchin Achar Yomim. According to Rabbi Lazar, B'yom HaShlishi she's Torah. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, on Yom Ravi she's Torah. Rabbi Kiva says Holchin Achar Onos. And you have to pass five Onos Shlemos. Why did Rabbi Kiva add the word Li'olam? He wants to teach us the din that we're going to see in the Hemshech, in the next part of the Brayso, so that Yotzas Miktas Ona, Kigon Shishim Shabem Tausa, Ein Omrim Shef Sida Ona Zu, Vitzrech Li Hosif Od Ona. So if it was in the middle of the Ona that she had the Tashmish, we're not going to discount or disqualify that that Ona in order to replace with an Ona. It'll die Bekach Shemashlima Esmashinech Sarmimena. The Ona Shlish goes into the sixth to make up those hours. Now, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi are going to argue on Omid Beis in a Braisa, when were Bnei Yisrael Poresh from their wives before Kabbalah Satorah? According to the Chachamim, that was on Yom Chamishi. According to Rabbi Yossi, it was on Yom Revi. And we're going to see that everybody agrees that the Aseres HaDibros were given on Shabbos. And the Tvila of the Noshim for Tara, meaning to be Mitara themselves in Pleita Zera, was on Leil Shabbos, not on Shabbos in the morning. And that's Kadesh Lo Yu, Halolu Holchim Lekabal Sator, Halolu Holchos Litbol. So Amru Rabbanon, the Chachamim, Kami de Rav Popol, said, V'yami lo to say, Rav Popol said it to Rav Mishlema, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, that if she was Polta B'Shlishi, she's Tahora. Is that that reflects itself in the Sheet of the Rabbanon? D'yami b'chamishi Ovid Prisha, that on Yom Chamishi they separated from their wives before Matan Torah, and some weren't Poresh until it was Somach L'Chashecha, and then the Tefillah was on Leil Shabbos, and after that there's no Chashash of Pleita. It means that Poletes B'Yom HaShlishi Tahora, and Mitzas Yom HaTashmish is Kikulo. So that makes sense. And Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Poletes B'yom HaShlishi Tmeya and only B'yom HaRvi Torah, we can understand that he holds Kirab Yossi, the Omar, who's of the opinion that B'arba Ovid, Prisha, that they were Porish on Yom Ravi, and that means from Yom Ravi until Friday night, 3 days passed, and from then on, Toros. Ella, Rabbi Akiva, Kiman. Rabbi Akiva says that Poletes, during five Onos, she's Tmeya. That doesn't work out according to anyone, neither according to the Chachamim, nor according to Rabbi Yossi. It cannot work out according to the Chachamim, for sure, because according to the Chachamim, they were Poresh on Yom Chamishi, there are no five Onos. He cannot even be reconciled with Rabbi Yossi, because in the Pasuk, it only says Yomim. It says, Hayuna Chonim L'Shloshes Yomim Al Tikshu Ola Isha. And we have a klal that Mitzah Yom is Kekulo. So it should be enough that they should be Poresh at the end of Yom Revi, and already on Leil Chamishi, when they would be Mitar they'd be Tovel L'Tarasan, we would already have four Onos. We'd only have four Onos. So the Gemara answers, Li'olam, Rabbi Akiva could hold like Rabbi Yossi, that they were Poresh on Yom Ravi. But he also holds, Kida'amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, that Moshe, when he went up Tar Sinai on the day that he received the Torah, and to hear the Dvar Hashem, Bashkama Ola, Ubashkama Yorad. When he came down from the mountain, in order to tell the people, Divrei Hashem, He came down early. Bashkama. Bashkama oladiksiv. When he went up to get the Torah, the Luchos, the second set of Luchos in Parshas Ki Tisa, it says Vayashkem Moshe baboker Vayal Har Sinai. So we see explicitly that he went up Hashkama. And that's on his way up. Hashkama Yorad Dechsiv, when it was time for Kabbalah Sat Torah, and he told the people to be Mizaris themselves, and Shalo Yalu Bahar, it says Lech Reid, V'Yolisa Atov V'Aron Imach, and Makish Yiridu L'Aliyah, Ma Aliyah Bashkama Yiridu Bashkama. So just like we said that Bashkama Ola is Bashkama Yorat. And we derive from this that the Yerida, when Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them about Prisha, it says, Vayerid Moshe min ha'har ela'om vayikadish es ha'om. That was Baboker, that was during the morning. So they were Poreish Baboker. So the Torah was makbid on five onos shlemos. So the Gemara asks Akasha on Rabbi Akiva, Lomalei lememer lehu. Why did he have to give them the mitzvah prisha in the morning? Va'amar avhuna Yisrael kedoshim ve'im shamshim yisem bayom. There was not going to be any tashmish to violate the modesty during the day. So the Gemara answers, Ha'amar Rava im haya base ofel mutar. And if it's a dark place, then you're allowed to have tashmish even during the day. And further, the Omer of Rav Yitema, Rav Papa, Talmud Chacham, Mafil B'taloso, B'taliso U'mutar. Now, even if it's not a bais ofel, he can cover himself with a garment. And there are many ways, therefore, that you could have tashmish v'ayom. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be a mitzav, he had to be mafrisham, so that they would be tahorim from pleitas shechva zerak before matan Torah, as we saw in Rabbi Akiva. And we're going to turn to Peivav Amid Beis. So let's just go over quickly. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if the bia took place anytime on Thursday, from, let's say, Shkia Sachama Wednesday night until Shkia Sachama on Thursday, and she was poletes after Shkia Sachama on Friday night, she's Tahora. And that's called, in the language of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, poletes shechvaser v'yom ha'shlishi Tahora. Then we have Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that the shechvaser is Tomei for 3 days, and she only becomes Tahora if she has the Zeresh Pleita on the beginning of the fourth day after Bia. He agrees that the counting depends upon the passage of calendar days or fractions of days, not on a fixed number of daytime and nighttime periods. Then Rabbi Akiva holds that 5 full daytime and nighttime periods, which would be all told 60 hours, must elapse before the Zera ceases to be Metame. So he disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Yishmael, who hold that the third or fourth calendar day is the determining factor and the actual time elapses inconsequential. Now, if we accept Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then he could hold like the Rabbanon, and that would mean that the Prisha was on Yom Chamishi, and Rabbi Shmuel would hold like Rabbi Yossi that the Prisha was on Yom Revi. But if you go with, right, and that works out, because again, as we said, the Gemara is going to have machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi as to whether the Prisha, when exactly the Prisha, according to Rabbanon, the Prisha began on Yom Chamishi, according to Rabbi Yossi on Yom Revi, but everyone agrees that the that the Kabbalah Satorah took place on Shabbos in the morning, so the women would have to immerse no later than Friday night, so that be ready at daybreak to receive the Torah. So the opinions of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Shmuel are understandable. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we said, hold like the Chachamim, so the Prisha began on Thursday. Notice they were allowed to have Bia until right before Shkia on Thursday, and therefore they'd only have to wait 2 daytime and nighttime periods, that means Thursday night and daytime Friday, before Tvila on Friday night. So there's no concern for any Zera after that point, which proves to us that the Pleita Zera on the third calendar day after Bia, which includes the day of Bia itself, is Tahar. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, reflects Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that Prisha began before Shkia on Wednesday, meaning on Yom Revi, for the Shkia at the end of Yom Revi. And now we have 4 full periods. We've got Wednesday night all the way through daytime on Friday before the Tevila. It means that the emission on Yom Shlishi, meaning the third calendar day, is still Tomei. It's only from the fourth calendar day on that she's Tar. But then the Gemara says, what about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva doesn't seem to hold like either Shita. In other words, on what is his opinion based? That a Pleitas Shikva Zera within 5 daytime and nighttime periods after Tashmish makes her into a Tmea. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva could actually accept Rabbi Yossi, and the Prisha, the Mitzvah's Prisha was given on Yom Revi, and we add to that Rav Ada Bar Ava's statement that Moshe, when he went up the mountain, he went up at daybreak, and when he descended from the mountain, he also descended at daybreak. And when Moshe descended on Wednesday, he gave the tzivui of Prisha, it was at daybreak. So the 5 full onos, full periods for Prisha before Matan Torah. And the Torah says, Vayered Moshe Minahar el ha'am vayikadish ha'am, and it means when it says Minahar el ha'am, that Moshe immediately spoke to the people right after he came down after Vayered, and it says vayikadish ha'am, which refers to the tzivui for Prisha. Now, if Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yossi, then it follows that the tzivui of Prisha was delivered by Moshe immediately upon his yerida, his descent, at daybreak on Wednesday, which leaves 5 full daytime, nighttime periods for Prisha, daytime Wednesday through daytime Friday, before Friday night's Tevila. And Moshe was very particular to deliver this order of abstinence of Prisha at daybreak, so we learn that a woman's poleta shikva zera is metamia within 5 periods. Now, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to give the tzivui of Prisha immediately at daybreak when he came down from the mountain? V'omer Rav Huna, and we have statements that the Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, and therefore they don't have Bia during the day. And the Gemara gives those 2 answers, that there could be Bia during the day. And therefore, Moshe had to tell them at daybreak on Wednesday when he came down to abstain from intimacy, to guarantee that they, according to Rabbi Akiva, they would get 5 complete periods would pass before the Tefillah, before Matan Torah. Now, all the Tanaim agree that before Matan Torah, the women who would have a poleta shikva zera, they were given until Friday night to do the tevila, and the Torah was given on Shabbos in the morning. So the Gemara asks, "Vahatfule yom ninhu? there's halacha of tful yom. So a tful yom is someone who went to the mikveh to be mitar himself from tumah, but he has to wait till nightfall to attain full tara. So the tvil itself will reduce the tumah, and he no longer, for example, is mitame chulin, but nevertheless until Erev Shemesh, until nightfall after the tefillah, he still has a state of shirayim of tumah, and he'd be mitami truma and kodshin, and he's not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, assuming that the tefillah didn't take place until Friday night, so until the full day would pass, which means until nightfall on Shabbos, they were in a state of tful yom. So on Shabbos morning, when the Torah was given, they weren't completely tahorim. And therefore, it would make more sense to say that the actual tefillah took place on Friday afternoon, so that with nightfall on Friday, there was no longer status of tul yom. There was a complete purification. And since there was no concern for any pleita shikva zora, then every single tana could deduce, he can deduct, I should say, he should take off one period or day from the time considered as the Shikva Zera Metame. So the Gemara answers, Abaye Bar Ravin, but we're now on the top of Pei Vavamid Beis, Abaye Varav Ovin, Bar Ovin, Ravin, and Rabbi Chanina Bar Ovin, the Amich Avayu, they both agree, Nitna Torah L'Tful Yom, that Enochinami, even if the Tara was not complete, they had the status of a Tful Yom, that's not an impediment for receiving the Torah. A Tful Yom is only restricted, as we said before, from eating Kodshim, from entering into the Azara. And therefore the women were able to wait until Friday night to immerse themselves, and therefore the various Tanoim could reckon daytime Friday as one of the periods during which a shikva zer would be metamit. So Yosim Reimer v'kamalei lashmaita, when Reimer was saying over this transmitting this Torah, and amalei Ravino l'Reimer nitna ka'amret o reuya ka'amret. Do you mean that the Torah was given to the tful yom, or do you mean to say it's fit to be given to a tful yom? Amalei Reimer answered that reuya ka'amret. It was fit to be given to a tful yom. In actuality, there was no Jew who was a tful yom at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. And the reason for that is because the prisha that the Jewish people were required to observe was long enough so that in the worst case, everyone would have been able to at least immerse themselves before the Torah was given and receive it as a tful yom. But no Jew was actually a tful yom when the Torah was given, because rather than waiting until Friday night to immerse themselves, they would immerse themselves on Friday. They immersed themselves on Friday afternoon, and therefore, when it got to nightfall, the tara was complete. They were no longer tful yom. So, if any woman had a poleta shikva zera on late Friday afternoon after the tefillah, in that case, she would have been contaminated again because the zera is still viable all day Friday. She would have to immerse herself a second time on Friday night, and then she would have received the Torah at Tful Yom. But in reality, in Metzius, nobody experienced an emission after the Friday afternoon immersion after the Tefillah, and therefore all were completely tar when the Torah was given. The Gemara again wants to analyze the schedule for Kabbalah Satorah, V'litbalu Bene Shimshe. They could have immersed themselves on Friday in Bein HaShmashos, meaning during the twilight period, Vilakablu Torah Bein Shimshe, they could have received the Torah on Friday afternoon. Why was it necessary to delay the giving of the Torah until Friday morning? Now this kasha is really a kasha on Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that in the critical factor in determining whether the Zera is Torah or not is how many full periods have passed, and that number is 5. According to Rabbi Akiva, then if the tzivui on Prisha was given on a Wednesday morning, by Friday evening, five periods had passed. There was no longer any concern that a woman might become Tmeya by being a Poletet Shefas Zera. So why is it necessary to postpone the giving of the Torah until Shabbos morning? Which again would give us an indication that we should add another Ona, that the reason why the Torah was in fact postponed until Shabbos morning is because you need six Onos to pass in order for the Shechva Zera to be Tor. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu Navi, Lo me rosh baseser dibarti, from the beginning I did not speak in secret. So it sounds like Hashem wanted to wait until morning in order to give the Torah sort of publicly. Now Rashi has a different girsa here. According to his girsa, the Gemara is quoting a different pasuk in Yeshaya, and that is Lo basesa dibarti bimkom eretz choshech. I did not speak in secret in a location in the land of darkness. So these psukim refer to Kabbalas HaTorah. And they state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to speak or give the Torah in secret or in the darkness of night, but rather in broad daylight, so that everyone would witness it, and the nations of the world would not be able to say, well, if they had only known about Kabbalas HaTorah, they too would have come and accepted the Torah. Gemara asks, V'litbalu b'tzafra d'shabbata, let them immerse themselves on Shabbos morning, v'yikablu Torah b'tzafra d'shabbata. Why did they have to be Tovel on Friday night? They could have been Tovel on Shabbos morning. And this is also a challenge to Rabbi Akiva, because if Rabbi Akiva is right and you only need five periods before the Zera loses its status as Tomei, then why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to give the Tzivui for Prisha at daybreak on Wednesday? He could have given the Prisha late Wednesday evening, and that would have left them time to be Tovel, to immerse themselves, five periods later on Shabbos morning. And the Gemara answers, Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Shalo Yu Halalu Holchim LeKabel Torah V'Halalu Holchim LeTfila. We don't want a situation where there's some people are Tor already, and they're already going over to receive the Torah. Others are still Tomei, and they have to go to Tfila. No, it's on this occasion of Kabbalas HaTorah, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the entire Kal Yisrael, all the people of Israel, to walk together, so to speak, stride together in Achdus, to accept the Torah. And therefore he was makdim the Prisha to daybreak on Wednesday to allow for the immersion of all who were Tomei at the proper time before Kabbalas HaTorah. Now, once we mentioned the three opinions amongst the Tanoim regarding Tumas Zera, now we have a fourth opinion, Om Rab Chia, Rab Abba, Om Rab Yochanan, Zo Divri Rabbi Yishmol, Rabbi Akiva. Abo Chachomim Omrim, Sheish Onos Shlemos Be'ino. We need six complete Onos of 12-hour periods before the Zera is Tor. Basically, these Chachamim that are indicated by Rabbi Yochanan, they accept Rabbi Yossi that the Tzivui Prisha was given on Yom Revi. They accept Rabbi Akiva, who says that it was given at daybreak on Yom Revi, but they hold that Kabbalas HaTorah was delayed until Shabbos morning, not only so that it would occur during daylight, as we said before, so that all the nations could see it, but the real reason for the delay was so that a woman who had a Pleita Shechva Zera at night, she became Tmeya, she would have the opportunity to be Tovelis in the morning and be part of Kabbalas HaTorah Bitara. So therefore they derived the conclusion that even a Tvila on Friday night was considered Tomei, and we need six periods necessary. That's daytime Wednesday night, daytime Thursday night, daytime Friday, and Friday night before the tefillah could make her into a tahora. Om Rav Chizda machlokes shepirsha min ha'isha, aval pirsha min ha'ish Tmeya Kolzman Shehilacha. So the whole machlokas Tanoim only applies to a Shichva Zera Poletes from a woman. Aval Pirsha Mina Ish. If a man had a carry, Tmeya Kolzman Shehilacha. The Zera is considered Metame as long as it's still moist. So if you talk about the Zera that was through Bia, shall we use the word, deposited into the Rechem of an Isha, and that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that this Zera loses its viability after 2 days and no longer conveys Tumah. And maybe it means that the heat of a woman's body causes it to be foul, and it loses its viability after this very short period of time. However, if it's issued from a man directly, for example, onto a surface, onto a garment, then it remains tameh and viable indefinitely, because the loss of viability is determined not by a specific period of time, but by its drying up. And as long as it remains moist and it's not dry, then it's viable, and it's metameh, a person or an object that it touches. And this is a tumor-generating capacity of zera that was never mentioned until this point, the capacity to contaminate through mere contact rather than through an emission. Masiv Rav Sheshes, the Pasuk says in Parshas Shmini, it says that what's the pasuk over here called? Beged v'chol or asher yia olav shichvas zora. And this is going to be a miut prat l'shichvas zora sheisrucha. And how do we see this in the pasuk shichvas zora? Right, the pasuk says ve'ish asher yishkav ish osa shichvas zora v'rochetzu b'mayim. Vitomara Orev, a woman with whom a man will lie and have semen, so they should immerse themselves in the water and remain tummy until the evening. And the second pasuk is dealing with viable semen. It deals with semen that was issued during Maisa Bia. So to the first verse, which is dealing with semen that came out on a garment or leather, so we see that viable semen contains tumah and conveys tumah to the object that it touches. My lav shepirsha mina ish. Isn't it logical to assume that the Bryce is talking about a case where the semen was issued from a man onto a garment or onto leather? So we see that even semen with issues from a man will lose its potential to generate tumah when it becomes foul, and that's called srucha, and it's no longer viable indefinitely. Lo. Shepir Shemina Ish, the Bryce is telling a case where the Zera came from a woman onto a garment or onto leather. So the original pasuk that we said begins V'ish ki teitze mimenu shichvas zora, and it would seem that our pasuk refers to semen that was issued from a man directly onto a garment or leather. The Bryce doesn't say that this pasuk excludes Zera, which is dried up, but rather it excludes semen which is srucha, which is fouled, implying that moist semen that issued from a man will not convey tumah once the time has elapsed for it to go foul. And that was the Gemara's question. And the Gemara answers, no, Shepirsha, the Braisa is referring to a case of Pirsha Mina Isha, and it excludes from tumah when it becomes sirachon, even if it hasn't yet dried up. Boy Rapapa, Rapapa has a suffix, Shikva Zera Shal Yisrael B'mei Kusis Mau. What's the din of Zera that comes, the Zera of a Jewish man that comes out of the Rechem of a Kusis? And do we say again that it becomes Sirocha and Srucha after 3 days, just like the semen in the womb of a Jewess? And the difference, nafkamina, will be whether or not if the kusis was poletes, the simon, the zera, after 3 days, someone touches the zera, should we say it became foul in her womb and it cannot be conveyed tumah? Or do we say it doesn't become foul and it'll be metame as long as it's moist? And the Gemara clarifies now this suffix of Rav Papa Yisrael, did the Ige b'mitzvahs. When we come to a Jewess, and she's constantly with the proper performance of mitzvahs, is therefore chavil gufayu. Their bodies become hot. They're full of fear and worry. They're very concerned that they may not perform the mitzvahs properly. As it says, Cham li bi bikirbi behagigi tivar esh. But ovdei kochavim delo de'igi b'mitzvahs, as for an idolatress, and she's not concerned with mitzvahs, lo, their bodies do not become hot, and they don't cause the zera to putrefy, to become srucha at an earlier period. So perhaps the zera in their wombs will not inviable, will not invalidate the semen after 3 days. So Dilma came in the Achli Shkotzim V'Ramosim, since they eat abominable creatures, which are all the creatures that included in Parsha Shmini, unkosher fish, sea creatures, seals, frogs, the like, unkosher birds, insects, flies, bees, mosquitoes, reptiles, and rodents, and perhaps even unkosher wild and domesticated beasts, ramasim are crawling creatures, is therefore chavil gufaya, their bodies become hot, and that will cause the putrefaction, to putrefy the semen, after only 3 days. The Imtim Tzolomer, and even if you'll grant me, came in the Achli Shkotz and Ramosim Chavil Gufayu, their bodies are hot, and therefore the Zera will putrefy after only 3 days. B'mei Be'im Amal. What happens if somehow the semen of a Jew was in the womb of an animal, and then there was a plata, it was emitted? Does it become foul after 3 days like the semen in the womb of a human being or not? Isha, the Gemara clarifies, the Islay Prozdor. She has a Prozdor of what we call the vaginal canal, a corridor that leads up to her uterus. And therefore, Masrachas, the Zera becomes Srucha, becomes foul in the uterus because it's not exposed to air and it becomes very hot. Aval behema de lesla prozdor lo. In the case of an animal, it doesn't have this uterine canal, this corridor. And maybe the semen, therefore the zera, does not become srucha so quickly because it's exposed to air. O dilma lo shna. Perhaps there's no difference between a human being and an animal in this context. So that the first side in the Gemara is behema lesle prozdor. In other words, what causes the quick process of the zera becoming foul of siroch, and it's because when it's not exposed to air, it's closed in to an area which is very hot. But that's not true for a behema. Or should we say no? That's not a major difference. And the Gemara ends up with teku, and there's no final answer to this question. Now, at this point, Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara, having mentioned the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yossi regarding the length of prisha, of abstinence from marital relations before Kabbalah Satorah, this becomes now the center question about whether or not Kabbalah Satorah was on the 6th or the 7th day of the month of Sivan, which the Gemara is now going to address at length. We're going to stop here for today. And Emir Sashem, tomorrow, we're going to pick it up from Tana Rabbanan on Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis, which is approximately, I would say, 15 lines up from the end of the Omer.